Before I dismiss the kids, I want to be sure and say something to them very quickly to go back to their classes. Before you do, don't forget next Sunday, bring Dad to breakfast. Breakfast starts out in the foyer, and we'll have it out there at 8:55, and it's for everybody. It's for the whole family, but particularly we ask you to bring your dad. And if you don't have a dad and you can't bring a dad or something, come anyway, okay? It's not just for dads, but we want to honor dads next week. And if you'd like maybe to be paired up with a dad, you can sit with somebody else and maybe that their family's not here. And we want you to come. We want everybody to come and be a part of that next week. And also, we want you to wear a Hawaiian shirt. Look at Marty. Marty, can you stand up? That's an Hawaiian shirt. Look at that. That's an Hawaiian shirt. All right, now you can't wear that next week, okay? No, I'm just kidding. You can if you want. But wear a Hawaiian shirt, and we just want dads to be relaxed next week. And we're going to have a picture spot afterwards, and you can take a picture with dad. And if you want to take a picture with somebody else's dad, you can do that. We don't care. We just want you to enjoy and have a good time together as we celebrate Jesus and we celebrate dads next week. Okay? Let's go on and dismiss our kids. See ya. See ya. See ya. Go ahead and go. Now you can go after Jeff was long-winded. All right. We're excited. Next week, camp starts next Monday, and we took a pause last year because of COVID, and so we're very excited to start that again and kind of starting on a small scale. Last year, the previous years, we've had 2 or 3 weeks, and this year we're just doing 1 week together, so we're excited about that, though. My mouth is really dry today. I've got a sinus thing, so excuse me for taking drinks a lot, but I've got something in my head that's not shouldn't be there. Well, we're looking today at this series called God and Me or God and You, and started it last week. And I think by listening to some of you and talking to some of you, I think God kind of spoke to your hearts a little bit as we looked at God and us last week. And today we want to talk about the fact that God doesn't change. We said we want to be very personal in our service here this morning. And what I mean by personal is I don't want you just to feel like God is so way far off. We want to know that because God is who he is, he's not far away. He is right there where you need him to be. He is right there and he doesn't change. And that's what we're going to talk about today. 1988, I arrived in Franklin, Indiana. I went down, I was a youth pastor. I was called to what at the time was Franklin Memorial Church down the road, right down the road here. And I came from a little farming community down in Brookville, Indiana. And so I was used to, you know, tractors and wagons. And so I came up here and I really liked Franklin because it was small. They had a Walmart that closed at 8 or 9 o'clock. It was over there where Tractor Supply was. And that's about all they had. And I'm like, we got a Walmart. We're good. You know, it's good. There was maybe 2 or 3 gas stations here in Franklin. And it was a different town back when I arrived in 1988. Fast forward to today, 2021, Franklin is kind of a real bedroom community of Indianapolis, and it's growing, some for the good, some not maybe for the good. A lot of jobs, a lot of opportunities, a lot of factories, a lot of things like that. Things have changed drastically for Franklin. I remember when I first got here in 1988, I worked with kids. And I was shocked to notice that they had a thing called Bring Your Tractor to School Day. And I'm like, what is that all about? And there was hundreds of boys with tractors. And today, I think if they did it, it'd be all like little lawn boys and, you know, little snapper riding tractors and stuff like that. But it was like, wow, what a cool community this is. It has changed. It has changed. Some for the good, as I said, and some not for the good. Change is good sometimes, and sometimes it's not. Change creates tension in most of us. If you're one of those people that loves change, and this sermon is not going to be about for you as much as it is for those of you that struggle with change, because when things change, it puts what stress in our lives, doesn't it? It kind of like, oh, what's going on? And all that stress puts this feeling in our stomachs, and we're going, I don't know if I like this or not. And all of you are experiencing change in your life. If you're a human, you are experiencing change, and probably lots of it, lots and lots of it. So we want to talk about that today. We want to talk about, well, how can knowing God help us be more stable in this environment where everything is about change, where our culture is all about, that was yesterday, what are you doing for me today? Look at James in your Bibles. I've got all the passages that show up on our screen today, and also you can go to our Facebook page, and the whole outline is there also. James 1:17 says this, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who doesn't change like shifting shadows." I was in our backyard yesterday and with the grandkids, and the sun would hit different points, and the shadows would be here, and all of a sudden it was over here, and then it was shade, and I'd move my chair because I'd want to be in the shade, and it would move, and I'm like, okay, I get it, I got to move, and so I move, but God doesn't change like shifting shadows. God, the Bible says, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always the same. He always will be. And that's what I want to, this is something that a lot of you know, but a lot of you don't think about this when it comes to stress and thinking about the things that are going on in your life. I want you to understand this, that everything in creation changes except God. Everything that He created changes except Him. You are constantly changing. If you look in the mirror and you've been on the planet for a couple years, you see things that are way different. You less hair, gray hair, crow's feet, overhangs, you know, things that shouldn't be where they're supposed to be. They're all there. And it's like, oh, that's a little different. Fact is that change brings stress to our lives. And I want to talk about how can we get stability? How can that, the fact that God doesn't change, what can that do for his church this morning? And that's where we're going to go. Here's what you can count on God for. I want to send you home with these three things that I think that are very, very important. And this is a big theological term I'm going to throw at you here in just a minute. But it's what we need to know about God and me. And so let's get into this. Number one, and this is very basic and very simple, and I'm not going to spend much time on this because we've talked about this before, but His love for me never changes. And I have to be reminded of that today. Because Jeremiah says it this way in 31 verse 3. God says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." You see, when God created you, He created you to love you. You wouldn't be here if God didn't love you. You wouldn't even be on this planet. And so many people don't understand that. They think, nobody loves me. But yet, God made you to be here. And when He made you to be here, He had a plan and a purpose for you. So that never, ever, ever changes. We change from one day to the next. One day to the next, there's people I like and there's people I'm like, eh. And you're the same way. We change our minds about opinions and about thoughts and about things that we believe and about things that we change our taste and we change the colors that we like and all those things change. And we're inconsistent. And one day we're like this, and you know, how many men in here can attest to the fact that one day you think like this, and you think your wife thinks like this, and then you don't think like that because they changed their mind. And it just continues, and you're like, well, I didn't even know you thought like that. Well, I changed, I grew. The Bible says this about God. God always acts like Himself. I don't. He never changes or acts out of character. He doesn't have bad days. God doesn't ever, ever, ever change. And that should be very important for you today. Psalms puts it this way, Psalms 119, verse 15. Your love never changes, so save me. Nobody ever says this about God. What got into God today? But you say that about your fellow man, don't you? What in the world are they thinking? What is my husband? What is that, my friend? You go, what? But God, he never has those days. The point is this. You can never, ever, ever doubt God's love for you. I understand Satan will try to trick you into thinking that God doesn't love you because you do things that separate you, that seem to separate you from God's love. But all that it separates is you backing away from God. God is still right where he was all along. When you do the most stupid thing consistently, day after day after day after day, God doesn't look at you and go, man, I gotta distance myself from them. But we do that with people in our lives, don't we? We do that all the time. I don't think I can let them know who I am because they just continue to put bad things out there and continue to do things and say things that hurt my feelings. I know this because some days I don't love anybody. Some days I'm cranky. Some days I am very grouchy. Some days there's things that don't go as I planned, and I don't love anybody. And that is real easy to put on God, isn't it? Because when I feel like that, I begin to think, oh, God must feel like that with me. But the Bible says, no, Jeff, that's not how it is. I, your God, always love you. There is nothing you could do that's going to make me love you any less or more than I love you right now. So when tragedy strikes, so when that thing comes in your life that's really terrible and we don't get an immediate answer and when things don't go your way, I want you to remember today that God loves you to the moon and back. Billion times. No matter how you act, God's love for you will never, ever, ever change. That's personal. That's so personal. And I love that. And I hope you love that today about who God is. Let's move on, because I believe most of you know that. You just don't act it out. Let's go to the second one. The second thing I want to send you home with that you can count on about God is you can count on his word never changing. And this gets a little dicey. This gets a little tricky because in the church, we're responsible for God's word. You understand that? So if we're fickle and we're responsible for God's word, we get to dice and slice how it goes out to people. And we get to say, this is how I feel about God's word. This is what I think about God's word. This is how I'm interpreting God's word. But the Bible says God's word never changes. I do, but his word never, ever changes. His principles, his commands, they stay the same. Isaiah showed us this in Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withers, right? The grass withers. Flowers fade, for sure, right? But the word of God stands forever. And it doesn't change. It doesn't change because the culture says, new. It stays the same, always, always, always. It's always relevant. It's always up to date. It's never obsolete. If man writes something, it's gone tomorrow. We started out with, what was the phone? I don't know, was it back in the threes or fours? We're up to 14.6 right now, I think it is. 14.6, isn't it? Somebody correct me. I think it's 14.6 series. We've changed and we change and we change. Everything eventually changes. Matthew says it this way in 24:35, Jesus saying, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. It's always going to be there. There's never been any book that has been more attacked, that has been more criticized, that has been more put down. And today, if you don't know it's under attack, you're living under a rock. Everything you believe by so much in our culture, if you believe the Bible, is being attacked. And that's a problem. And I pray that you understand the scope of the problem, that what you believe in your heart and the thing that you accepted into your heart and the boss that you said was going to be your boss, the very thing you say you love and created you, the culture says you're full of hooey. You're full of hooey. Why would you ever, ever, ever think or believe in something like that? The Bible has stood the test of time. So many dictators, so many Caesars have died, so many world leaders have died, and they attacked the Word of God, and they're gone, and the Word is still here. That's what I want you to see. I know we're going through a rough patch right now. I know that the Bible is turned upside down and people are going, what's right was wrong and what's wrong is right. I understand that. I understand that people are taking the Bible and saying it's not relevant, it's old-fashioned, it's out of date. And it gets that way because people we love and people we care so much about, they act out that way. So what we do is we take our standards and we begin to move towards the standards that aren't in the Word. And when we do that, what we do is we separate ourselves from God's Word. And we begin to become the Word makers. And we begin to say, it's okay. Well, why can't I have sex before marriage? What's wrong with sex before marriage? You know, that's old and antiquated. The Bible says, no. What do you mean there's two sexes? What in the world? There's a man and a woman. No, there's 30 different, there's 90 different. There's all these classifications. There's a man and a woman. In the beginning, God created a man and a woman. I don't know how it can be any more clear than that. But yet we've delineated from that. We said there's this, you're a pan and you're a pot and you're a kettle and you know, whatever. It just keeps going. I'm like, what? Do you understand the culture that you live in? God's word never, ever changes. Satan's temptation is always to get us to question God's word. In the Bible, what did he do with Eve? He said, hey, are you sure God meant that? See, that's what Satan has done for years. Are you sure that's what God means? And you know what Satan is doing now to the church? That's your interpretation. That's your interpretation. And he takes it and he turns it around. And then there's division in the church, and the church splits, and they go to 14 different locations. And then the church is all really, like, splintered and all over the place because, you know, they accept these, and they don't accept these, and they like these, and they don't like these. And they're a right, they're a left, and they're you know, it goes all over. And all of a sudden, the church is not what it was supposed to be. God's word never, ever changes. Well, God wouldn't send anybody to hell. Well, no. We send ourselves, of course, but there's a whole batch of people that are out there that believe that. That believe that there's no hell. When the Word of God says there's a heaven and there's a hell. Black and white. If you believe in one, you have to believe in the other. Now, that's just your interpretation. Oh, okay. I'm in my car and I'm driving and I come up to a stop sign. How many different ways can I interpret that? Stop! Well, only if I'm feeling like stopping today because I like to stop and I don't want to. No, you stop because it says stop. It's a universal law. It's like up, what goes up comes down. It's a universal law, and God's word is exactly like that. But we are not treating it like that anymore. We're treating it like it can be changed to our whim and our thoughts. Listen to what Matthew 5:24 says. This is Jesus speaking. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Jesus said there's two ways to build a house, church. There's two ways. Listen, you build it on a rock, where there's a solid foundation, or you build it on the sand where it'll get washed away. And some of us here today need to be reminded that we're building our house not on the rock, but on the sand. The Word of God doesn't change. just because I changed, just because half the people in my family believe that, because half the people in my family are now 13 different kinds of sexes and stuff. I understand why. I understand why we think it's okay, because we do have to love everyone, everyone. I get that, and I'm not saying that. But I also understand that there's two ways to build your house. There's rock and there's sand. And if you're not careful, when you take God's word and you make it something it was never meant to do, and you live it out, you can get washed away. Very, very easy. I can't get much straighter than that today. God's love for me never changes, and it never will change. God's word will never change. Never change. And as long as I'm here, and as long as you believe what God's word says, I believe we can continue to hold out. Will we be persecuted maybe someday soon? Yeah, maybe. For what we believe, if we believe a certain, it's already getting that way if you believe certain things in the Bible and say, well, there's a man, there's a woman, people will argue with you till the day is long and call you, you know, all kinds of things, and you're discriminating, and you're judging me, and you're blah, blah, blah. The point is, I want to have stability in my life, and I believe you do too. And I believe the biggest thing that the Christian has a problem with is that lack of stability. And you should be the last people on the earth that don't have stability in your life, because you're built your life on the rock, and the rock doesn't shift. The rock doesn't change. The rock doesn't move. The rock is the same today, yesterday, and forever. So a secret stress stabilizer then should be this, and I'm going to give you a clue, a real quick clue. The best thing some of you could do is start taking some scripture, and if you're a horrible memorizer, just take one verse of scripture and write it down someplace and put it somewhere important to you. Start putting the word of God around you, what God's word says, instead of what you think in your head, because what you think in your head gets you in trouble. It gets you in trouble when the storms come. And so what helps us, what gives us stability, is God's word. But it's so hard, because so many of us take that book and we go, I don't really know much about that book, because I haven't opened it up for a long time. In fact, I'll follow that you once in a while when you're preaching up there. I'll open my app up and stuff like that, and I'll get that, you know, the Bible like that, but that doesn't do it. It has to be able to come from within you. When the wave comes, you have to be able to say, no, this is what God says. This is what God says, and I'm going to do it, and I'm going to act it out, and I'm going to live it. Start filling your mind with things that never change. Then God can bring them to your mind when those things happen. Lastly, what can you count on with God? God's purpose for your life will never change. God's purpose for your life will never change. No matter what happens to you, it will never change. No matter how hard it gets, no matter who dies, no matter what kind of thing happens to you physically, it will never change. Your purpose stays the same till the day you go to glory. Listen what Isaiah says in 14:24. The Lord Almighty has sworn, surely as I planned it, so will it be. And as I proposed it, so it will stand. We forget that God said these things way back in the Old Testament. And he said them for you today so that you could stand when the waves come. So you can stand when public opinion overwhelms you and says, you're stupid for thinking that. Or you're not stupid, you're discriminating against me. Who amongst us hasn't thought, what is this world coming to? If you're a little older and you're in this room, you got to be going, I'm scared for my kids. I'm scared for my grandkids. I understand that. I get it. But I want you to understand, as Christians, you've got the foot up on everybody else, because you can build your life on the rock that has a plan and a purpose for you. Even in the midst of the muck, God is there. But I do know this. I know not what's going to happen tomorrow, but I know who holds the future. And you need to know who holds the future too. And you need to be able to say, I can withstand that. I can withstand whatever test is coming. And here's what you need to know. What's the world coming to? It's coming to a planned climax. And the climax is this. The Bible tells us, even the Son of Man doesn't know when that time is. And only the Father, which is in heaven. And fortunately, here's what you can bank on today. If you're in Christ, you're on the winning side. If you're in Christ, you're on the winning side. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about how crazy it gets. Psalms 33:11 says this, His plans endure forever. His purposes last eternally. They don't change because society changes. They don't change because public opinion changes. There's two reasons today why you don't have perspective or foresight to know that something's going to happen. It's this, because you don't know about tomorrow. You don't know about tomorrow, but God does. And when he made you to get through tomorrow. That's amazing. God made you to get through whatever kind of bodily thing you're going through. He made you. He knew that was coming. And he says, I can get you right through this. We'll take you right through it. Since God is omniscient, God knows everything. He's omnipotent. And what that means is God has all, he's omnipotent, I'll get it right. He knows, he has all the power. There's all the power that there is in him. He can change anything. But why doesn't he? Because it's in his purpose. But why? Because it's in his purpose. And he loves you, and he wants to show you something that he's going to do through you, through whatever time that is. Since God is all those things, listen what 1 Samuel says about it. Look, this is cool, so cool. It's 1 Samuel 15:29. God is not a man. No, duh. He does not change his mind. But I do. There are some things in the Bible that God says he did change his mind about. God told Nineveh, if you don't repent, I'm going to destroy the city. What happened? He didn't destroy the city. He didn't change his mind. He changed his will. God will can always change his will, but he doesn't change his mind. So you're saying, but can God do something in my life if it's, and I ask you, absolutely. Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. No, I don't want to go to Nineveh. Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. Jonah went to Nineveh. And when he got there, God changed his mind because the whole city repented. Now, is the whole United States going to repent? I don't know, probably not. But I do know this. As for me and my family, I'm going to serve God. That's what you got today. Would you say that with me? As for me and my family, I'm going to serve God. As for me and my family, I'm going to serve God. Doesn't matter about anybody else. Well, they're doing it. That doesn't matter. Well, look what they let their kids. Doesn't matter. As for me and my kids, I'm serving God. I know who I serve. That would be a great verse to put down someplace. As for me and my family, we're going to serve God. God doesn't have a plan B for your life. All he's got is plan A. He's got plan A. Did God goof? No. He's got plan A, and plan A is okay because it's in his purpose. Whatever's going on, how can that be? It's in his purpose. It's in his purpose. No matter what happened, God knows. I'm going to skip through some of this because I've gone too long. Let me close it up. If you're here and you hate your life, you're one of those people. If you're here and you hate your life, you know, that's not God's deal. That's yours. Because John says in John 10:10, Jesus says, I came to give you a full life. It's yours for the asking. If you hate your life, it is your fault. God says, I came to give you a full life. I sent my son, and there is plenty of full to go around to everybody. To everybody. And all this, everything that I'm talking about today, having that trust in God, to trust in that He loves me, to trust His word never changes. It all starts with a relationship. And that never changes either. There's only one way that you can have peace, and that is if you have a relationship with Jesus. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That's a daily thing, too. It's not just a one-time shot. Every day, I believe that He raised Him from the dead. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Why do you have to do that? Because you have to know if He did that miracle in Jesus' life, He can do something that's a miracle in your life. He can get it through you through whatever it is you're going through between now and the time that God calls you home. There are three things to remember when you're under stress. When your life isn't stable, here they are. God never stops loving you. He will not. He will not ever, ever stop. That's a stabilizer. God's word is always right. The advice in the Bible is the right thing to do. It's appropriate, even if it's unpopular. Even if people tell you you're a racist, or you're a whatever, or you're... you know, use the word. And lastly, God's purpose for your life is bigger than any problem that's going on. Because that problem that you're going through, God wants to say to you, here's what I want you to learn now. So you can take it to your deathbed? No. So you can share it with somebody else. Here's what I found. Look. That's what evangelism is. Evangelism is not going and knocking on doors. That never, ever works. Evangelism is not about handing out pieces of paper. Those are nice things, but evangelism is saying, here's how God worked in my life. Here's how He'll work maybe in yours if you trust Him. Psalms 125:1 says it this way, those who trust in the Lord are as steady as Mount Zion, unmoved by any circumstance. Does that describe you? Those who trust in the Lord, listen, are as steady as Mount Zion, unmoved by any circumstance. That's stability. What a personal God we have. What a God that cares about every jot and tittle of your life. What a God who cares about that you have an ache when you got out of bed this morning and nobody else gives a flip about it. You got out of bed and you go, I don't even want to get... God cares about that. I don't want to go to work tomorrow. God cares and knows about that today. Isn't that special? Isn't that cool? I'm going to pray and the band's going to come. Let's see what God does during our ministry time. God, thank You that You are such a personal God and that You never, ever, ever change that immutability, God, that's who You are. Boy, that means a lot today. And so, God, I just pray that You'll move in us this morning, that You'll show us that we don't have to be in charge. Just show us that we don't have to. We don't have to make things up. We just have to trust. So we can be steady as Mount Zion, unmoved by circumstances. Pray these things in Your name. Amen. So I got a couple questions for you. Are you stressed out because of the changes that are going on in your life right now? Are you feeling a little uptight because of the uncertainty of your future? Would you like a rock-solid foundation which you can build a stable life? Then I invite you to these three things that we just talked about today. To know that He loves you, to know that He has a purpose for you, and that His word never, ever changes. And He wants a daily relationship with you. Let's see what God does during our ministry time.
If you'd like to stand with us, you can. Whatever's comfortable for you.
With my soul. eyes are on you. Through it all, through it all, it is well. Through it all, through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well.
I pray that today as you leave, it will be well with your soul. I pray as you leave today that you can say, all right, I'm back with the Lord. I'm back where I need to be. You know, I've been doubting you, God, a little bit. Been doubting about what's going on. But now, God, I know. I know that you love me with an everlasting love. I know that your word never is going to change. I know that you have a purpose for me, even in the midst of this mess that's going on in my life. I do want to make a course correction. I said something about being racist. When I said the word I probably should have inserted in there was homophobic, that we're accused of being homophobic. If you're accused of being racist, you need to probably take a look at what's going on in that. But if you're accused of being, you know, because you believe the Bible says a certain thing about that, it's probably the word homophobic. So I want to make sure and correct that's how we view that. We're going to go right to our ICC news. Thank you so much for being here today. I'll meet you out in the back. There is a meeting right afterwards. I think they're going to tell you everything. Here she goes. Poor Em. Sorry, Em.
I just have a few announcements about what is going on here at ICC. Happy Mother's Day, Impact Christian Church. We love you very much, and we are so blessed to have such amazing moms here at ICC, and we just want to make sure you feel special today, so please stop in the foyer and grab a small gift
from ICC. I think you got the wrong one, guys.
Youth group officially ended last week, but we are going to be talking about Camp Brookville.
We're ahead for next year, guys. Think about it. Mothers, happy Mother's Day.
Hold on just a second.
Talking about Camp Brookville.
We're ahead for next year, guys. Think about it.
Nope.
Mothers, happy Mother's Day.
Hold on just a second.
Right there. It's right there. Ta-da.
Good morning, Impact Christian Church. My name is Abby Lucas, and I just have a few announcements.
We'll put these on our Facebook page if you miss this, guys. Right there. All right.
Good morning, Impact Christian Church. My name is Abby Lucas, and I just have a few announcements about what is going on here at ICC.
Look at Gage.
Interested in managing an area during our Freedom Fest on September 11th from 6 to 9, please join us 15 minutes after service and we will be having a short manager meeting. We are in need for about 9 managers, so if you are interested in this, please go to the meeting or talk to Pastor Jeff. Next Sunday, we are going to be having our Father's Day breakfast. We will be providing biscuits and gravy, and we are also encouraging our dads to wear Hawaiian shirts. And after service, make sure you get a pic of you and your dads to celebrate Father's Day. Also happening next Sunday on Father's Day, we will be having our ICC Youth Band perform. So please come out and support them and see all their hard work they have been doing these past couple weeks. Camp is going to be starting June 21st, so please make sure you get your child registered if you are wanting them to attend camp. If you have questions about camp, please go see Whitney Worthen. If you would like to be part of our painting party, please go see Whitney Worthen. We are going to be having a day in July where we are completely repainting the kids' area. Our van fund is almost completely funded, but we are going to continue accept donations until July. Well, ICC, that is all the news I have for you. I hope you have a blessed and awesome week, and we'll see you next week. Bye.